another beautiful sunrise in Kalangala district on Bugala Island, Tuesday, 8 a.m., finds us at Moena landing site. There are several commuter boats taking passengers to different islands. Our destination from here is Bunyama Island, about 30 minutes away. As we cruise on our boat, the outlying islands are nothing but a mesmerizing scenery. The Bunyama and 62 other habitable islands are totally dark without power.
Our milk can't be kept for some time. We have to give the milk away. Milk is sold at 500 shillings a cup.
As the mandate to empower its citizens economically, all those people cannot provide themselves power.
We have some land in the town where I want to, of course, to put another 10,000 solar panels to, of course, to expand on our generation of power to supply other areas.
Hello, I'm Razia Othman, and this is the New Vision Daily podcast around Uganda. In this second episode of the Kalangala Power Divide, we explore the challenges of farmers on islands without solar power. Listen as Namand and Subugan, fellow resilient farmers, share their struggles to process and sell produce without electricity. From transporting goods to losses in perishable items like milk, the absence of power affects their livelihoods. On arrival along the shores of Lake Victoria, Bunyama Island feels like a world of its own. Young men are playing a game of Ludo. A lady serves tea from her eating house, and there's loud music from a makeshift video hall. A majority of families here live from hand to mouth. Fishing and tourism continue to put food on their tables even as oil palm growing takes shape in the district. When the government introduced oil palm cultivation in 2013, only 400 households on Bugala Island and the entire district of 84 islands had access to electricity. Still, the wave is sweeping across islands despite the lack of access to power. At least $280,000 is generated from oil palm on Sese Islands alone every month. But for farmers without electricity, tapping into that revenue is difficult. For those living on islands without access to power, the struggle continues. Namand and Subuga, who left volleyball to farm on the dark Bunyama Island 8 years ago, faces significant challenges. First, she shows us her water source down the hill. It's an irony that there is so much water in the lake, but because of environmental policy, she taps from a stream and has to pump it upwards to cover her 50 acres. Namanda grows coffee and a type of banana locally known as gonja. She also rears cattle, goats and poultry.
You'll go about 500 meters up the hill.
Up the hill.
Yes, so the energy you require to take water up the hill, you need a water pump that may cost you about 7 million. If it is going to be a petrol-driven or engine-driven pump, it may cost you between 3 to 7 million. And then you have to keep buying fuel to power it all the time. If it is going to be irrigation, if you're going to irrigate even as little as 1 acre, at least you need more than 5 liters of petrol at the current cost of fuel. Yeah? It's a lot of money.
Frustrated with the lack of access to power, Namanda was forced to innovate by installing a gravity water pump, though once in the tank, it needs an electric thrust.
We are doing a lot of things to sustain the farm. For instance, we have been struggling with water, having clean water for the animals, and a steady supply of water. For irrigation, for making the manures that we make. Being an organic farm, we make a lot of liquid manures and they depend on plenty of water. So we have devised a ram pump that we are using to draw water from a neighbor's farm because he has a running stream and we are getting clean water from the rocks through water pipes to our land, and then we use the ram pump to pump the water up the hill. So we are now getting some little bit of water, but it's a bit of relief, and we plan on modifying it until we have enough water.
I think inside here. Must have locked it inside here.
There are two solar panels installed to provide the power needed. One is the size of a 1 meter piece of cloth. It costs around $100. Compared to the energy needs on this farm, that generates a tiny fraction of power that only helps pump water.
In all fat-rich areas, solar energy is the solution. If government could subsidize bringing in solar panels and those inverters and everything, everything else would be easy for us. I mentioned we have animals, but our milk can't be kept for some time. We have to give the milk away. Milk is sold at 500 shillings a cup.
Meanwhile, work continues on Namanda's farm. Three workers are plucking bananas from a bunch and packing them. It's 2 p.m. and she's making calls to arrange for transportation of bananas from Bunyama Island to the capital Kampala for drying, frying and packaging.
There are very many other factors, but for you to have energy, for you to have power, it empowers you because it starts from as little as you being able to access maybe your farm manager or somebody on the farm. Something as simple as charging a phone. Some of us don't live on the farm every other day, or the farms are big. Somebody is 2 kilometers away from the shop. Somebody is 2 kilometers away from the landing site. And you just need as simple as to make a phone call to them. But if they can't charge their phone, it makes communication very difficult.
First, she must transport her produce to Bugala Island for processing and storage, resulting in losses, especially with perishable items like milk.
Along the way, we would always lose close to 15 kilos of coffee in just transportation. The bags would get torn, the coffee would pour in the boat, sometimes you'd find rain. Yeah? So by the time you reach Kampala, you again have to spend another 1 week drying coffee that you already dried. But now that we have the ferries here, it's a bit easier. The trucks that come to fetch the palm oil help us transport the coffee again to Bugala. And that is where the coffee is hauled. So yet we have to transport our coffee husks back to the farm. So we are losing some money in moving our products back and forth. Even the gonja, I take the gonja all the way to the government facility in Namanve to be processed. And then I transport the pills back here.
Next to Namanda's farm is Richard Semaganda's plantation, which stretches over 45 acres. His focus has been on dairy, and without electricity, processes are equally cumbersome for him.
Because we don't have power supply we as farmers end up selling our milk as it is without any value addition. We can't keep it for long, we can't preserve it because we don't have power. We can't cool it, we can't add any value. We end up selling this milk as it is. We need solar energy to help us preserve our milk because since we don't have it, we end up transporting our milk to the main island, that is Bugala, where we sell it at a price of 500 a cup.
Despite the government's push for mechanization in agriculture, only a few can afford it among the 70% employed in the sector. Rajab Semakula is the Kalangala District Local Council 5 chairperson. He's also a farmer and has experienced farming without electricity firsthand. We ask him what he thinks the government can do to support such farmers.
If government attracts investors or gives license to more investors to do the same in the far landing sites, it can help. We have boarding sections in those schools. We have health centers that have inpatients and outpatients, and those inpatients are there at night. We have residents, and the government has the mandate to empower its citizens economically. All those people cannot provide themselves power.
It's why many fishermen and women are stuck on their trade. The thought of investment required to compete with farmers who have access to power is discouraging. Joseph Mulindwa from Kalangala Infrastructure Services feels the cries of farmers without electricity.
They are crying, they have petitioned the government, they have petitioned the local leaders, they have petitioned us. They want services, they want also to develop, but they can't develop without infrastructure development. So those plans are there to expand. And even here in Bugala, we are planning to, of course, we have some land in the town where I want to, of course, to put another 10,000 solar panels to, of course, to expand on our generation of power to supply other areas. And also we are planning also to put up some small mini grids to supply power where those micro settlements where we cannot reach the lines, we are going to put these small solar systems to supply power again to cover the whole island and also other islands outside Bugala.
Farmers are encouraged to tap into solar energy, but the high costs remain prohibitive for many individuals. The government is advocating for mechanization in agriculture, recognizing it as the largest employer in Uganda. It has set up centers to help thousands of farmers across the country simplify processes, but still, energy is needed to operationalize and access the facilities. So, with only a few able to afford mechanized solutions, local leaders are calling for an expansion of off-grid solar projects.
We appeal to the government to attract more investors into these islands because it's difficult to tell government to extend the main power line to these far islands.
As soon as the night falls, we jump onto a boat back to Bugala, before this island is shrouded in darkness.
Frying the gonja and all that, we are still in talks with, there's a certain company that manufactures slicers and all that can help us do them, and they are run on diesel engines. Yeah, because running a domestic solar energy plant is a bit more expensive. We have tried to go into the costs of getting the inverters and all that. It's a bit more costly. We'll start with small engine-driven machines as we raise money to go into the bigger, sophisticated equipment.
And there is the Kalangala power divide. Islands so rich, full of energy, yet very little access to power. I'm Razia Athman. Thank you for listening to this episode of Around Uganda. For more of Vision podcasts, log on to www.newvision.co.ug/podcasts or find them on the Vision Digital Experience app. This report was produced with support from the African Center for Media Excellence and the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation.